Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Grassroots Marketing on CannabisRadio.com continues in just a moment. We're going to talk to one of the premier indie companies that are in upstate New York called Ravensview Genetics. I'm here with Joanne Kudrovich. We're going to speak with her more about everything going on with Ravensview. But first, Grassroots Marketing is powered by the Buzz CRM. You know, tired of having that marketing madness that you're going through. We talk about it all the time. And the Buzz CRM is here to go and give you what you need. 500 plus marketing tools underneath the hood. AI-powered automation, personalized workflows, helps to transform your business. You want your own personal virtual sales team? We have it. It's all built in. And we've had companies that can attest to it right now that already have a sales team in place to go through leads, generate, so you're closing the ones you want. Now, also imagine AI can handle your emails and social media 24/7, nurturing leads with customized automation. You'll never miss a call back. Or call with our unique missed call text back feature. Find out more how AI can assist with copywriting, how the chatbot widget in our system can also schedule appointments, even sell while you sleep. It's a one-size-fits-all plan, low barrier to entry, thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com. Go find out more today, and you'll be glad that you did. So once again, I'm here with the co-founder of Ravensview Genetics, Joanne Kudrovich. Thanks for being on with me, Joanne. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So you and your history and your really brought you into the space. First of all, you came from a highly structured corporate career in healthcare and retail. We'll ask about that in a moment. But then you're coming into this space. You were rooted in honoring your daughter Nina's legacy and her passion for holistic health. So take me to the personal mission that brought Ravensview Genetics to life. And, you know, as you are today now leading this day by day, can you tell me anything about what your daughter's memory directly influenced this critical business choice like Ravensview?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for asking. So as you stated, I come from corporate healthcare. My husband's passion and one of the things that he shared with our daughter, Nina, is cannabis. They both love to grow anything. And so they shared a love for orchids and vegetable gardens and you name it. That was something that they would normally be doing together, being in the great outdoors. And they also shared the love of the plant. Now, Nina also was a massage therapist, and she was very much integrated into holistic healthcare. And so the idea that the maintaining the integrity of the plant, that there's plant medicine, and that it's, you know, coming from the world I come from and having included her in the holistic health world, it was just a way for all three of us to bond. You know, me coming from the plant medicine perspective, the holistic health perspective, and my husband coming from the grow and the love of actually sharing the product. So when Nina passed away, which it'll be 10 years in November, wow. I had brought my husband to a medium. You know, he was just couch locked in grief, and we just needed to shift. You know, we needed to find some meaning or something, some reason to keep going. And so we went to a medium. It wasn't necessarily his belief system 100%, but he went along with the program. And in the reading, she said that Nina wants you to know that when you see the black bird, it is basically a message from her saying she's with you. And so my husband gravitated towards the raven. The raven has a lot of spiritual meaning. And the idea that the raven is looking down on us, you know, so the raven's view is from above. And of course, the genetics is very much about his mission in the cannabis space, is maintaining the integrity of the genetics of the old school product. And it's some of what he and Nina shared and loved together. So it kind of brought it all together. You know,
and was your daughter, was she like an avid fan of Edgar Allan Poe, something like that, where the raven would have been kind of a tie-in?
No, I think it may have. I mean, I think the raven, as I said, has a lot of spiritual meaning.
Sure.
And I think that It was just whatever the message was, I don't know or why it came to be, but it does have a lot of significance in a lot of different ways. So
that's a fascinating story. And but it's also where, you know, and definitely not definitely not opposed to the idea that in, let's just say, in mysterious ways we learn and we spiritually will be able to still connect with someone that is not in this world now. We could still find a way that we're still connected to them in some way. So I mean, that inspiration, and now coming back into this here 10 years later and having this business now and getting the legacy in the forward was really wonderful. But now it also caused you to go and make that change, because again, being in a corporate environment, you know, the work you had to go and deal with, and you would have had a very clinical, data-driven mindset working in what you did. But then it brought you here into the cultivation, into, you know, deciding to go into a whole entrepreneurial deal on your own, you and your husband, to get into this here. Tell me about that change that just said, well, I mean, it caused a significant change. Obviously, a mindset change is going to happen because when you go through loss, but also just going through a business change.
Yes, 100%. So at the time when Nina passed away, I was working for New York Presbyterian Hospital, and I had spent my entire adult career in corporate healthcare, mostly in the private sector. So developing very large corporate entities for private physician groups. And I eventually had been recruited by New York Presbyterian Hospital to develop vascular centers for them as they were expanding their footprint. So it was the first time I'd worked in a healthcare system where that moved a lot more slowly than the corporate environment. But a lot of my experience in healthcare was in building practice. So the idea of being an entrepreneur, to some extent, I was an intrapreneur, meaning I was, you know, working for corporate entities, you know, building things.
Did it own it's your money. And they're owing it your loan. Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. So I got to have my paid time off and my salary and also bonused on my productivity. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, and of course, coming from corporate healthcare in New York, you know, the compliance aspects rival any other state. Typically, if you can practice medicine in New York, you can probably do it anywhere. And so I like to say I was built for this. You know, when Nina passed away, I left that behind because I was down in the city during the work week and my husband was upstate on, you know, during the whole week. And so we came together on weekends and it was, we needed to be together. We needed to grieve together. My whole childhood and my whole life was very focused on preventive health care. And I always incorporated holistic health practices. I was known as that person everywhere I worked. So when I left the corporate practice in the city behind and came full-time upstate to be with him, I opened a holistic wellness practice. So to be honest with you, you know, Nina and I used to do detoxes together. She was very much raised in a holistic, way. And so, as I said, that plant medicine piece was very much aligned with how she and I connected. But she and Michael shared the love of the plant. And so when the opportunity came around for New York to start to legalize, this was Michael's passion. He's been in the legacy. He's an OG. You know, he's got a seed bank that he's collected over 20 years of land race and heirloom pure genetics. And he'd been always, he and Nina loved to grow, as I said, and they loved to share the plant. And so, you know, I partnered with him and they said, look, I'm built for this. I have that whole entrepreneurial experience behind me. I can handle all the business piece, the compliance piece, and you go off and, you know, this is your time to shine. You go ahead and you grow the plant and let's see what we can do together. And so that was how the genesis of the transition happened.
So now you specifically at Raven's View, I see from the website, there is an outdoor and there's greenhouse and there's outdoor grow. From the setup in the Catskills. Again, it's amazing that you made the switch from being in the city during the week, but also as always, you still made time for family on the weekends. That was solely made for that. So you had that chance to get bond. So it wasn't the job controlled and took too much of the time away from being with family and what's important for you. But it's also then coming into the environment here in the Catskills, where in the cannabis market in New York, I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, when they've allowed outdoor growing and there's been issues with contaminants or with pesticides, and there's always been, you know, certain things about how much that the state hasn't really cracked down or really have not done enough to offer enough compliance standards for outdoor grows. Tell me about what it is that you do to go in that hybrid environment where you do outdoor and indoor, and the focus you have on rare land race and heirloom genetics.
Great. So when we started in 22, coming from my business background, we had spent 10 months developing a business plan and a financial model, and we're planning to go after a capital raise to build a 60,000 square foot indoor facility. That was the plan. In 2022, New York State did this social equity program where they offered provisional licenses for distressed hemp farmers. While we had not been in the hemp business for a long period of time, my husband, as a breeder, had produced seeds for the hemp farmers. And so we were eligible to receive this provisional license.
Wonderful.
And so we did a complete, like, you know, turn and decided to go with that license type, which did not involve an indoor facility because New York State did not allow for that in that provisional license type. It was only outdoor or a greenhouse with limited lighting. So at the time, we didn't have infrastructure since we hadn't really been doing greenhouse grow, and we knew we wanted to go indoors eventually. So we did outdoor grow on our property.
Right.
Coming from my background, I put an 8-foot fence around over an acre of property. I put very large amounts of security cameras on it.
Yeah.
We built a 3,000 square foot facility, temperature and climate controlled, for drying, curing, and processing the product. So we spent quite a lot of money on the infrastructure with compliance measures that were not required at the time.
Right, right.
But it was what I anticipated, A, would need to have happen, and B, what I could sleep with. So that being said, then after 2 years, we transitioned to a micro business license. We are now have transitioned that head house building into an indoor facility.
Wow.
So we are currently transitioning into indoor grow. Unfortunately, New York State does not allow for a mixed outdoor and indoor. You know, New York State, especially where we live in the Catskills, does not have a climate for outdoor.
No, right.
And to your point, a lot of people had issues with pathogens and heavy metals and, you know, all kinds of issues that were just out of all of our control. Weather. There was one in 2023, I think we were looking at our window in August at hail coming down on our. So it's very unpredictable, all of those factors. We live on the Delaware River. Mm-hmm. We drew water from the river into a very large holding tank where Michael would adjust the pH and the nutrients, all organic nutrients. Mm-hmm. He did not grow in the ground. He had grow pots in the field.
Right.
And an irrigation system that fed the plants in the grow pots. So we did not have any issues, thank God, with any pathogens. We did not have issues with any heavy metals. You know, we've never remediated any of our product. We tested perfectly every time. But, you know, it's a crapshoot. At some point, our plan was and is to go indoors, and that's what we're transitioning into now for all of the reasons, you know, for environmental controls. And to your point, because we're now in the indoor facility, able to start to work with some of those special genetics, those very rare landrace and heirloom genetics, some of the genetics that Michael has actually created from landrace strains. He's a breeder. And so he's got some very proprietary special genetics that are much better served in a controlled environment indoors. And so that's where we're going.
Well, and what has happened is that now Raven's View has become a really preeminent craft cannabis small batch company when it comes to the kind of products that you have. I know that over the Memorial Day weekend, you were featured at Merryfest, and a lot of things were being put up in terms of being a prominent brand like that in such a bustling market like New York State right now. Tell me about how that really came about, because, I mean, this is also going on in the city itself, and for people to all of a sudden go ahead and find out and learn about what's being done. Well, actually, it was in Williamsburg where the event was, but still people from all over in New York State coming to go and visit this event and seeing that your company's there first and foremost. Tell me about, you know, how well it's done to say, like, you know, if you've had this with the product in the city and in the country, how it has done, how it's differentiated, you know, how it's sold.
Sure. So for the, if anyone who's following New York cannabis, you will know that for the first 2 years that we had that conditional license, there were basically no dispensaries to sell into. And so it's been a struggle for all cultivators in New York State, many of whom have at our level with those original provisional licenses have not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Sustained and maintained. Presence. What I started doing using, you know, leaning into my business background in 2023, I was asked to chair the cultivation committee for the Cannabis Association of New York, otherwise known as CANNY. And so I got very active in advocacy and lobbying for the rights of the cultivators. We had 5 dispensaries, I believe, in 2023 that we could actually sell to. And of course, think about 2 years. In 2 years, we grew over 2,000 pounds of smokable flower with nowhere to sell it. And so my committee created a town hall event in 2023. We invited the OCM to attend to answer some of the questions, the hard questions that we were asking about how are we going to survive? What are you going to do to help us? And they showed up, and at our event, they offered a cannabis grower showcase model, otherwise known as a farmer's market model. And so the idea being that while there were not enough dispensaries for us to sell at, we could be selling at events all throughout New York State, as long as there was a dispensary partnered with us to transact. So I helped the OCM, actually created the guidance to provide them, because, you know, they were still working out the details.
Is this from last year when they did an overhaul of OCM, or this is when it first initiated?
No, this was in 2023. So this is the first group at the OCM. Okay. And we created the guidance and worked with them to get these grower showcases up and running. I was the first to get approved for one at Bethel Woods. It was approved to launch with the Willie Nelson concert. So it was Woodstock, Weed, and Willie. And then more importantly, I think, was the approval for the state fair. So I worked with the governor's office, the Office of Cannabis Management, the CANNY, the Department of Ags and Markets, and Marino PR Group to get approved for cannabis to be sold in partnership with the state fair. It was the first time. We had to stop the stigma rally. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the idea being that there's alcohol all over the grounds. It was a little late in the season to get approval to be on the grounds, but they bussed people back and forth from the state grounds to our location, which was in walking distance from one of the gates. And it was a pretty big deal. So all of that to say that I spoke a lot on speaker panels. I was advocating for working with the OCM to continue to advocate for this model. And it was very unique to New York. I don't think any other state has accomplished something of that nature. So that's how I got busy and building our brand and building awareness, to be honest with you, in conjunction with helping to shape and form in some respect with all of the cultivators at that time, a means for moving forward. My husband also is teaching and lecturing in colleges and in classes about why genetics matter. And so in very real ways, we were just grassroots, you know, getting the word out about who we are. By the time New York State, they ended the cannabis grower showcases at the end of 23 and 24, dispensaries started opening. And we had developed relationships by then with these dispensary licensees who also were struggling. You know, New York State was sued by everybody. So there were whole areas of New York that dispensaries, while they were licensed, were unable to open. Right. And so we had developed relationships with those dispensary owners waiting in the wings to get themselves going. And when the floodgates finally opened, We had established relationships. It was almost like we had a trauma bond, you know? Right. We were in this together. And the idea is that this should be built by New Yorkers for New Yorkers, you know? So that community, with all of the negativity and the struggle and the challenge that we encountered, we built community, you know, that served us when the floodgates opened.
So I was mentioning before about the fact that the Office of Cannabis Management went through an overhaul, and that now with regulation, oversight has been passed over to the Trade Practices Bureau, and that's going back into February where this all happened. So Trade Practice Bureau is looking to crack down any dispensary license holder failing to meet strict regulatory standards. But when you look at the standards that you have, obviously for your grow that you and Michael operate, it's a much higher compliance level. I don't know if it's a good manufacturing practice or what, but the thing is that I feel like from all the stories I talked from growers to dispensary owners to those that are working in New York State itself for years on this program, ever since the start of the adult use program, not to mention the issues of the loans and the conditional card program, the social equity program, and how people have gone through, paid that licensing fee, which is exorbitant, and lose it because they had to go ahead and couldn't go through the process of going through, trying to get through the pop-up opening, trying to go through inspections just to go and get to the opening, because it would take 18 months to 2 years to get to that point, that some of them had to go ahead and pass off the license to an MSO because they couldn't even do anything. They were cashed out. But now I wanted to just ask about what it is where the change they've made now about who's handling compliance and how they've done with the change so far. You know, you're still in the role at the Cannabis Association of New York. What do you look at right now as what they're doing with the compliance crackdown?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we're just about to finally have seed-to-sale tracking integration. You know, so there really has been none of that. We're just reporting based on spreadsheets every 2 weeks through the Office of
Cannabis. So I'm asking, is already ready to be operational?
BioTrack, they're going
BioTrack, excuse me. Yes.
But it's, you know, it's meant to be, our deadline is for August 1st, and, you know, we don't know how that's going to go. I will say that the crackdown on the illegal dispensaries has been helpful on all levels. You know, clearly the legal dispensaries have seen a boost in sales, and clearly that helps us as well. So that's been really integral and important. Now with the inversion that's happened, there are some brands that have been quarantined because they have been, it has been found that they have been moving product in from out of state. Right. And so in the light of that crackdown, which again helps our community, mm-hmm. What has been happening is that it's become, the consumer has now started to become aware.
Yeah.
Because this has been happening. And the consumer is going into the dispensary and saying, hey, I want to support New York brands, you know? And so then now the dispensary owners are coming to folks like us and saying, hey, how do we feature you? How do we bring in more craft farmers or craft cannabis growers? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that shift happening. So there's a very unique, special moment in time because of the crackdown, if you will, or because of a tightening of regulatory climate, that there's opening a space a little bit for the small craft farmers, because it's been a haul, and it's been a grind, and it's been time. There's also a lot of newbies coming into the market, new micro business licensees, which, you know, is the vertically integrated only one license type. And it really caters to, it's a smaller canopy. So craft cannabis farmers, so you'll see more and more folks like us in that license type. So to speak to, you know, Canny and just the advocacy in general, a lot of what we're advocating for right now for is an expansion of opportunity for micro businesses. Okay. And the micro business licensees.
And I'm just wondering, I would love to get your take, because, I mean, with the changes that the OCMs are trying to do now, and they had an issue where they had to go and make change in terms of turnover of who was managing the project, trying to go and offer more money into funding for social equity businesses. And now, about a month and a half ago, that they also offer now training, online training courses for free by the Department of Labor in conjunction with the OCM to try to help support cannabis workforce development across the state. So given credit, I mean, New York State, they are getting more help from them to help owners like yourself or for help cultivators and other other owners out there. But the thing is that has it been enough, and what could be done more to help support the cannabis market here? What is the OCM, if you had the chance to talk to them, what would you say that they could be doing more of for?
Well, there's a couple of issues. For those of us who've been in this market now, we're going into our fourth year of grow. We just passed our three-year anniversary of licensure. So for those of us from that community, we have asked for and advocated for some kind of recompense fund. You know, for those who are still standing, we're standing mired in debt. And, you know, at some point, and it's too much. It's too much to be able to continue to move. And you know, you have to keep going forward because there's no way to go back. So there's that piece. But for all of us coming into the market at that level, at this level and this under this license tag, it really is about just expanding some of the rights. Like, we have an infrastructure. I have an 8% around an acre grow, and I'm not allowed to use it in conjunction with my indoor facility.
Wow.
License type doesn't allow for that. It doesn't make sense. Why not let me expand my canopy type and have some indoor and some outdoor to offer to the marketplace? The dispensary, the micro business licensees are allowed to have a dispensary. It's part of our vertical integration, but we're only allowed to carry our own products. So to go through all of the hoops of, you know, adding a dispensary to the mix and the expense around that, and only be able to carry however many SKUs any one of these small farmers has is ludicrous. When why not allow us to support each other? Not every micro business licensee is going to open a dispensary, so allow me to carry their brand in my store, even if I have a regulatory guideline where I can carry 40% of other micro business licenses in my store. Give me a chance to expand my SKUs and give me a chance to support the other licensees who are trying to get out of debt. You know, so there's just a bunch of there's the canopy limitations. Give us a little bit more. Let us grow more flower, you know, so that we can hit the market at different times in at different tiers, let's say. So those are some of the things really that I'm focused on now at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and take some focus into Ravensview Genetics itself. The website is ravensviewgenetics.com, R-A-V-E-N, viewgenetics.com, or Ravens, excuse me, we'll put it with an S right there, ravensviewgenetics.com. Whole flower, pre-rolls, edibles, topicals, concentrates, and quite a few different products to go and bring into here in terms of where you have products that are hybrids for terpenes. And I just want to get more into what people can find for on the website and what they should be looking at. What's some of the products that have been getting a lot of notice?
We like to say we have something for everyone. We launched variety packs. We were the only ones in New York State. We actually had to work it out with the OCM, with the labs, to figure out how to do it, how to create one SKU with four different products in it. And so we started with a four pack of, in a tin, four completely different experiences from your most sativa to your most indica, and the hybrids in between. So we like to say that we had your morning weed, your late morning noon weed, your after dinner weed, and your night on one pack. We then launched something similar with four different strains in a box that were in each one was individually tubed because the terpenes were so strong that we wanted to maintain the integrity of each of the strains independently. So variety packs are kind of our thing. We now have a double dab. So we have a box of 2 half-gram dabs in a 1-gram box. So you get an indica, half gram of an indica, half gram of sativa in the dab. We have, you know, of course, eighths and individual pre-rolls of all of our strains. The thing that we like to speak to mostly is the purity. So it's not only the purity of the strain, meaning not over hybridized, but also how we grow, what we do and don't use to feed the plants. The fact that we don't irradiate or mitigate anything, you know, coming from holistic health and healthcare in general, for me, it's about the plant medicine. So maintaining the integrity of the whole plant. So if our, and not all of our strains are super high THC, we don't manipulate the plant and we don't necessarily seek for that. So a lot of our demographic is our age group, the people who are looking for old school, the people who are looking for what they used to smoke back in the day, and that are used to having an experience that lasts over time. And that's nuanced versus just punch me in the face, drool on the couch, feel like garbage later. That's just how we differentiate. And it's not to say that there's not a market for all of it. It's just where we like to focus.
Well, and I also noticed that you very much focus on, for the kind of consumer that likes to go and be able to consume throughout the day, morning, afternoon, and night, so especially when I look at with the whole flower and with the edibles, with some really amazing flavors you have in here. So Morning Boost, 25 milligrams THC. It's a mango, dragon fruit, and lime combination. Golden Milk Latte for your Inspire, which is the afternoon brand. And then the Serenity Nighttime Unwind, which is blackberry currant. Can you take me through a little bit what you and Michael were looking into when you were deciding about which flavors, which components work best to make that morning, noon, and night kind of feel to it?
Yeah. Well, just to clarify, it's actually the morning and afternoon are 2.5 milligrams THC. Yes. And we added minor cannabinoids as well as some health inputs. And then the nighttime is 5 milligrams. So there's 20 in a bag of each. But for us, it was about microdosing. So again, I used to put on a business suit every day and go into a corporate environment. The idea that you could have a 2.5 milligram gummy that has all of the health benefits of the medicine, the plant medicine, as well as the inputs, have that bright up morning feeling and experience, but still able to function in an environment, a work environment, is what we were going for. Why we had mango, dragon fruit, lime. I mean, dragon fruit helps detox the liver. So we incorporate the different things that enhance health. We were the first in New York State to add THCV to any product. So it has that upright morning experience feeling, but with a little bit of an appetite suppressing quality. The golden milk latte is a very special flavor profile. And again, 2.5 milligrams THC. We did add CBG for anti-inflammation, but we also added rhodiola root. That comes from my holistic health world. It's a supplement that you can take for mental energy, clarity, and focus.
Wow.
So I like to say, instead of having sugar or caffeine at 2 in the afternoon when you're slumping, have one gummy at 2.5 milligrams. If you need two, there's twice as many in a bag.
Right.
But if you get over that slump in the middle of the day, you can still be functional with mental clarity and focus and energy and feel good. And so that's, you know, the nighttime gummies, we went with the 5 milligrams of THC. And we added, I think a lot of brands make the mistake of adding too much CBN to their nighttime gummy.
Right.
So you feel groggy the next day and you just don't feel, and you get knocked out. Again, just like our weed, the idea is to have an experience, a slow unwind. And so we just put enough CBN, of course, a little bit of CBD, and then we added L-theanine, which is an amino acid supplement that helps to quiet the mind. So I like to say, if you're in the cannabis industry and your body is exhausted, but your mind won't shut down, this is really about a body-mind unwind that gives you really deep sleep without that feeling of being groggy the next day when you wake up. So I have had a lot of young bud tenders tell me that our nighttime gummies have saved their mother's life for those in my age group who just, you know, you may fall asleep, but there's all kinds of hormonal shifts happening and you're not necessarily staying asleep. This is a solution, again, without getting super stony or just knocked out.
And also would make mention that also about the concerts, you have the live resin you have available in double dab. So if you want to go ahead and find where you'll have a sativa and indica both in the same, in the double dab packaging, again, a 0.5 grams per each strain of either apricot scone or sister's cheese. Sativa is the apricot scone and sister's cheese, the indica, also put into that. So all you can find that and more at ravensviewgenetics.com. Make sure that's the S after Raven, ravensviewgenetics.com. And join before we go wrap things up. Let me know about that. I know that you do quite a bit of speaking. I know you spoke recently at the New York Cannabis, you were showcasing product there and speaking, I forget, it was the Cannabis Forum. It was a New York State event. And what other events can people go and find you and get to go and see your products?
Yeah, sure. Right now, if you go to our website, you can find all of that educational information as well as where we are in terms of dispensaries. We have a strong presence down in the city and an expanding presence up closer to home upstate. And we're actually going to be teaching at teaching a class in the city this week on Friday, which is really for bud tenders. It's a school for bud tenders. And so that's just an opportunity to educate them from the ground up, if you will. But we do a lot of universities and colleges and classes and things like that as well.
Oh, it was a New York Farmers Forum and Craft Flower Cup that you were recently at back in May. So always can people can definitely go and find you while you were out and about in New York State. And really, I do appreciate you taking time out telling us your story. It's amazing what you're going through right now in terms of doing this craft cannabis in such an interesting climate that is the New York cannabis market. And I'm so glad you're tapped into it, even if it is, you know, what you're doing right now with the cultivation, but also still that corporate healthcare mindset and what you're really going to do in terms of advocacy for the CNY, Cannabis Association in New York, and what you're really going to do for that. It's wonderful that you've been able to incorporate yourself into helping in that cause as well. One last thing, Joan, before we wrap things up, you're hosting a New York State Cannabis Festival. Give me a little more details about what's going on there.
Sure. So I'm working with a venue down the road from us in the Catskill Mountains, which is an absolutely gorgeous part of the world. They actually host festivals and weddings, and their festivals draw 5,000 to 10,000 people from all over the state in a weekend. And so they came to me and said, can we do something with cannabis? And I thought, absolutely, as long as it's the craft cannabis farmers, you know, it's the micro businesses, the small tier groups. And so it's an opportunity for us all to come together again in community, similarly to how we did at the Cannabis Grower Showcases, just to have tables and educate consumers about who we are, what we do. There's going to be music. There's going to be lots of food. There's going to be lots of workshops, classes, seminars, and things of that nature. Lots of sponsors, lots of craft, you know, jewelry makers and local artisans as well, both in the cannabis space and out. But it really is a way for all of us in the industry to come together in community and share that with the consumers. So right now, tickets are on sale. It's cannabliss.com, and the tickets are $20. And we welcome people to come out, check us out, and experience a great time.
Fantastic. Website, thank you again for being on with me. We really took your time out. Again, co-founder of Raven's View Genetics, Joanne Kudrovich, thank you for being on.
I appreciate it so much, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.